Welcome to the Thomistic Institute podcast. Our mission is to promote the Catholic intellectual tradition in the university, the church, and the wider public square. The lectures on this podcast are organized by university students at Thomistic Institute chapters around the world. To learn more and to attend these events, visit us at thomisticinstitute.org.
Some things are perplexing, not because they are so distant, but precisely because they're so near. They're so nearly a part, so constitutive of human life itself, that it's hard to get a grip on them. And so it's worth then talking about friendship and the common good. And what we want to do is talk about it in the way that one would learn to talk about it if you were to read, say, Thomas Aquinas's Scriptum on the Sentences and his Summa and the commentary on Aristotle's Ethics and so on and so forth. Let's start here. So Thomas says, I am going to get back to gravity. I'll do it. I'll find a way. Thomas says, look, if you're going to talk about friendship, then you're going to be talking about love. Because love is a kind of friendship, or friendship rather is a kind of love. Okay? So when we speak of friendship, we're speaking, though, not just of any love, but a love of a very particular kind. I will, you know, at certain points, I'll give you little pieces of the Latin, and that's just so you can know that there's something really concrete to hang on to. Some of it's hard to get into English. This is actually kind of, it's really clunky. Oh, what would you say? You'd say that's friendship, love. Literally, it'd be love of friendship. What's that? Well, the nature of amor, amicitia, or friendship, love, love of friendship, the kind of love we're talking about here becomes apparent in contrast with something very distinct. I like, what do I like? Tacos. I love tacos. I love hamburgers. I love John Coltrane. What am I saying when I'm saying this? I have an appreciation for them. But when it comes to tacos, it's not just an appreciation, I assure you. What I'm saying is, I want them for myself. I love tacos, and when I enjoy them, the proof of my enjoyment of them will be their corruption. They'll be gone. I'll consume them. And we talk about love this way, and this is pretty standard, actually, across cultures and time and language. I mean, Thomas has a way of recognizing, yeah, when we say love, in some ways, we're talking about something called, well, what he'll call love of concupiscence. It's not a bad thing. You know, I love things. Some of the things I love them in a way that I'm wanting them in some way for me. Okay? That's not love of friendship. It involves something very specific. Love. Okay? Love as a verb, in the sense of to love, consists what? In willing some good to another. Now, maybe you've never cognized that before. Maybe you've never, okay. What's going to happen is sometimes I'm going to write like this, sometimes it's going to be in cursive, and sometimes it's going to be misspelled, so just get over it, okay? Maybe you've never cognized it exactly this way, but notice. I mean, love is this mysterious, big, beautiful thing, but at its core, it will always involve centrally, and most essentially, willing some good to someone, okay? So when we speak of charity as a kind of friendship, we say that we love others out of charity. We're willing them some good. What is that good? Well, ultimately, it's nothing less than God Himself. Okay? And we're, as we continue talking, we're going to see that one way of distinguishing love, and therefore various kinds of friendship, pertains to the good wanted for some other. All right? Or willed. I'll use want and will as rough equivalents, okay? So you've got to have something like this. Willing some good to another. And I have to stay big and broad here because it's going to turn out that there are many, many kinds of friendships that will be distinguished according to these different, by the different goods willed. So let's just stay here for a moment. All right, there's the first criteria. Here's the second. It's got to be mutual. This is how, what are we doing? We're defining friendship. And, there's the Latin, friendship. You're going to have a friendship, that for a friendship to obtain, there will always be some willing of some good to another, and that willing will be mutual. Thomas has this, he's not really thought much, is he, as a poet or a jokester, but his writings are actually full of really cute little quips. One of them is, I'll give you the English. He says, a friend is a friend to a friend. Quote. Now that might sound tautological. It is, that's why it's a joke. But it's also true in a deep sense. Here's what it means. Okay, what were we just talking about? Oh, we were talking about Gladiator 2. I'm going to go see it. You're going to go see it? Okay. And let's say I love Denzel Washington, but not in the way I love tacos. But let's say I really wish the good to Denzel. And I do. Okay, I do. And but you wouldn't call us friends, would you? No. Denzel doesn't know me. He doesn't, there's just, it's unimaginable really that he would know anything about me. He can't will my good in return.
He doesn't know you love talking.
Doesn't know I love, yeah, he hasn't walked a mile in my shoes. We haven't broken bread. He doesn't know about the tacos. That's exactly right. It's got to be mutual. And this is what's going to distinguish various instances of love in part, from friendship. We know, right, there's the longing of unrequited love, right? And it's not always mutual. But even if you have these first two conditions, love of friendship, mutuality, there's something else that you need to have a friendship properly so-called. Can anyone think of what that thing is? Ooh, wow, so quick. Savannah, right there. But what do you mean, Savannah? Action instead of just willing. I like that. Yeah, in fact, I mean, have you read some, you've been reading some of this stuff?
No,
that's right there, yeah. Well, do you have anything else to add to this? I mean, what's your intuition about the necessity of action? Okay. Yeah. So there's no manifestation of the thing. Okay. Well, yeah. Think of it like this. Imagine if Denzel, who knows, somehow by some like strange, turn of events, accidentally stumbles upon like my very neglected webpage at the University of Dallas and like is able to find and sit and is like, hey, this looks like a nice guy. Yeah. No, I, good on him. All the best to him, and you know what? It's not just a kind of an occasional thing. You know, somehow this sticks with him. Are we friends? Well, so the sacrifice part, inevitably, yes, the best friendships will involve, some degree of sacrifice, but the point Thomas wants to make is that That if you're not, if you don't have this third thing, what you are is you're not a friend. You are a well-wisher. And that's not nothing. Okay, you've got mutual well-wishing, right? But you don't have friendship. This is the part of his understanding of friendship that's kind of hard to get into English at first. And so I'm just going to leave it like this. He says, every friendship is going to be ultimately founded. Okay, it's going to consist in loving someone, willing some good to another, where that will, that same other wills you some good in turn. And every friendship will be founded on what he calls a communicatio. All right? You can, the reason why you can't really put this in one way is because, again, friendship is this big, it's like a genus, and all these different things go under it. Okay, but sometimes you're going to call it an association. Sometimes you might just call it a sharing, a fellowship. Okay? We're going to render this all different kinds of ways that are going to feel more natural to us based on the type of friendship we're talking about. But the point here is that every friendship, just if it is a friendship, will be founded on some kind of sharing, some kind of concrete pursuit of the good that each friend wills to the other. So now all of a sudden, you know, you've got some language to begin asking some kind of wild questions like, what is it I want for my friends? What are we even doing? I know this person loves me. I know I love them. What are we after? Okay, just put it this way. If this, come on in. Barack, are you Barack? Yeah. All right, I got you.
No, you're doing totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So Barack, we're talking about friendship. And what I was just saying is that, what was I just saying? Oh, yeah, that every friendship is founded on some kind of actual pursuit of the good that each friend wills the other. And it's somewhat opaque, isn't it? What it is that each friend wants for each other. But but this is part of what the theory is meant to clarify, and it had better actually correspond to the life you actually live. I mean, it might, if it's a theory that doesn't have an actual object in the world, then what use is it? It's nothing really. It's just kind of a historical artifact, but I don't think that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with an account, it's a very thick, I think, account of social reality of our human lives. And the next thing I need to tell you is this. Before we get going, get moving. When you and I talk about friendship, we are inclined as a habit of speech, in part, to speak of friendship as though it were something that hovers between us. Okay? Now, there are some modern thinkers that will actually state the case in these terms. So if you go read Mary Wollstonecraft or other English, early modern English writers, they'll speak of friendship as something that obtains between two people. And Thomas, he'll talk about it like that. He'll say sometimes things, something like, he'll call it which means a bond. Metaphorically speaking, what is friendship? It's something that we have together. It hovers between us metaphorically. But properly speaking, what a friendship is not something that obtains between you and I, okay? Like just some kind of weird metaphysical substrate. No, it's something actually, properly speaking, in each friend. He says, friendship, every friendship is a habit What's that? Oh, it's a stable disposition toward acting in a certain way. Okay, virtues are habits. If you have some courage, some justice, then you have within you a disposition toward acting justly, acting courageously. And it's something that, you carry about in your person. And it's there when you're asleep. It's there when you're not doing especially just or courageous things. It's something you can, it's a capacity that you can use when you will. Okay? Don't take the analogy too far, but it is, but you can, and so Aristotle will, and Thomas certainly will, speak of habits, the kinds of habits that a friendship is, analogously to a kind of skill or art, right? If you know how to bake a cake, well, look, you can bake a cake. It's something you can do. You can actualize it, bring it about. And habits are like this. Friendship is like this. You can, right? I mean, think of all the people you love. Right now, you're listening to me. But you have it within you to wish their good and to actually pursue it concretely. Friendship is, properly speaking, something that is acquired within a person, okay? And it's a disposition by which you will the good of someone who wills your good in turn. And that, so to have a friendship, you've got to have at least two people with that same habitual disposition within them. And it's pretty rare, actually. Okay. I just said a second ago that friendship is something that we acquire within us, and that's right in the most general terms, but now you should just cognize, we won't speak of this directly, well, you can come back to it, but think about this. What's charity? Oh, it's kind of friendship. How do you get it? Well, not by, Aristotle says you should never become friends with someone until you've shared a bag of salt. Okay, what he's talking about is a big bag of, Greek rock salt. And, it's going to take a year or two of meals for you to work through that bag of salt together. And that's not how you become friends with God. You become friends with God because he comes after you. He puts his grace in you. He takes hold of your life. And charity is a kind of friendship that God gives us. It's something within us by which we will God. We will some good to God, which includes nothing less than our lived time. Okay? All right. So there we go. There's friendship. And now you've got to start thinking about, if we're going to talk about friendship and the common good, well, there's quite a lot more here that we've got to do. And it all has to do with unpacking this thing right here. But let me pause. You got any questions? What questions do you have? I'm going to have to use this.
This is every friendship.
Yep.
How often does that have to be for it to be a mutual habit?
In every friendship, if it's a friendship really, there will be some within at least the persons involved, there will be some habit by which they're inclined, disposed, and toward willing and working each other's good. Yeah. So, but you have an objection in mind, I think. Or do you?
Well, there's like the types of friendships, who knows them, like the crowd, but there's like the three types of friendships. There's a utility.
Yep.
So would you say utilities?
Friendships of utility are friendships.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's because you share a common necessity.
Yep.
That isn't willing necessarily the good of the other, but rather like a shared common.
You're willing some good to another. Okay, yeah, but you're not, We are going to come to this. We'll come to this. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you get it?
How do you get what?
Friendship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you have to... Okay. So depends on what kind of friendship you're asking about. Okay. But in every friendship, most generally, there's something that's going to have to happen. You are going to have to be struck by the goodness of some other. Okay? And here we come, since we're going this direction. So what I'm going to tell you is this. I'm going to address your question by jumping ahead a little bit. But I want you to know this. We're going to talk next about the two ways of distinguishing friendship or friendships. Okay, and one of those ways is going to have to do with, and the one we're going to talk about is according to the type of communicatio or fellowship, but then the other way is the way we'll talk about now in answer to these two questions. Well, it's that, how do we put this? The reason for loving. Okay, so, okay, who's in grad school? Yeah, kind of. All right. Well, look, some of you are in grad school. Some of you have just recently been in school and have just finished, and you know that some of those friends that you had spent a lot of time with, you're still in communication with. Okay, but some of those friendships have kind of, you know, it's not like you're throwing them overboard, but they're kind of dissolving. And that's because, well, there are many reasons for this, but one way of thinking about this is the reason for the affection that each friend has for each other, and therefore the habitual disposition by which that affection is brought into action. So if you're in grad school, I was thinking, yeah, well, it's tough. You need some buddies, you know, go get a lighter head for a heavy heart. You know, these are your drinking buddies, okay? These are, now don't go crazy with it, but Father, just relax. So what I mean is we have these things called friendships of pleasure, and there are some people, and what attracts us to them is that they're a lot of fun. Okay? And within this big category called pleasure, you know, we could make many more distinctions, but you know, some people become inclined toward one another habitually because they strike each other as good in virtue of the pleasure that they both get from the friendship. But as soon as the occasion for that pleasure is gone, well, the friendship dissolves. Okay? All right. And then you have friendships of utility. You know, this is like, you know, the friendship I have with my mailman. It's not bad. It's not nothing. Okay? It takes a while to get a friendship like that off the ground, but the real basis for our friendship is that, you know, he's bringing the mail. I'm ensuring that my dogs and children are not attacking him. Right? There's something mutual about each other that at its core has it has some kind of utility. All right? And then there's what Thomas will call true friendship. True because, not because these are false forms of friendship, but because the nature of friendship is maximally fulfilled in it. And this is the kind of friendship that obtains when I'm going to just use this language in a Platonic sense, when you fall in love with someone because of their virtue. You just, you know, you're struck by their character. Just think, wow, I just love this guy. I just love this person. They are, and there's nothing, quite apart from the pleasure that I get from their company, quite apart from how useful it is to be just and courageous, quite apart from all that, it's good. It's good. So we have pleasure friendships, utility friendships, true friendships, and for each of these, they'll correspond some habitual disposition. Okay. Now, can you still see over here? If I come way over here, probably not. Can't. It's too far, isn't it? You can see. Here, I'll do it up here. So there's this other way of talking about it. You distinguish friendships according to the kind of fellowship. Now, what is this? We've been talking about it. I've kind of glossed over it. I've said you can render it various ways. And now I need to concretize this. All right. Okay, what a communicatio is, in every instance, it's going to be the conjunction of two or more persons joined together in the pursuit of some, ready? Common good. What's that? That's a good that cannot be achieved or at least not achieved easily by the members of that communicatio acting individually. And now I will give you examples. Okay. Two or more persons, okay, acting together in pursuit, of some common good. Some good that they are wanting for themselves and for one another. All right, watch. These are all Thomas's examples, but I'll give you an example that's nearer to your own milieu, and it's okay. Let's talk about Lord of the Rings. Let's go in there. Yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so. You're joined together, right? You're an elf, you're a hobbit, a human being. What else do we have in the mix? A dwarf. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Joined together in mutual pursuit of some common good. What is that? Well, minimally, it's what Thomas... It's just the place you're going. Where are you going? Where are you trying to get? Yeah, you're trying to get to Mordor, but you don't want to stay there. I mean, you're trying to do something together, right? But you are joined together in what Thomas calls the communicatio of, what is it? Who cares? Fellowship of the Road. Okay? Think about when you join together with people, right? And you're all engaged in the mutual pursuit of some common end. What's the common end? Well, minimally, it's the place you're all trying to get. Okay? And people do this all the time. And friendships are born within that mutual pursuit. Okay, so you have the fellowship of the road. How about this one? You have what he calls the fellowship of war. Okay, it's war is grisly, and say what you'd like about it, but there are wars, and there are those who fight, there are warriors, and what they're doing is they're joined together in the mutual pursuit of something that they all want for each other, and that's victory, military victory. So, destination, victory. Okay, ready? Ready, everyone? What is the good that you are and all your friends, what are you guys all pursuing? What is the thing you're joined in pursuit of? Okay, look what we're doing. The life of glory might be. Yeah, okay, let's talk about charity, but let's talk about your natural lives. I mean, not that these are, we don't want to make a kind of false separation between them, but what Thomas says is that what charity as a kind of friendship with God does is it works its way into the nooks and crannies of our lives and transforms the friendships we already have. So let's talk about those friendships. We said that a friendship is the will, it obtains when two or more persons will some good to another. Properly has to do with the habits by which you do this. But what is the good? See what's happening? What is this? What is this? What do you want? You guys look like you're friends. You ought to be able to tell me. Can you? What do you want for each other? Yes, that's a very UD answer, but what's, yes, of course. Yes. What is that? What is that? Yep. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, no, you want her to be fully, yeah, you want her to be actually everything she can be potentially. Yes. Yes, that is what you want. Yeah. But is that the thing you guys are pursuing in your friendship? Is that, so here's what I know. I can hear it from what you're saying. You're going to tell me, because, and this is all true. This isn't just lip service. You want for each other happiness. And because happiness is contingent upon you both having some real degree of virtue, you want her to be virtuous. So you just said, I want her to be the best version, the best Caroline we can get. Well, that will obtain just if we get the most virtuous Caroline. So you want happiness for her virtue. And because she's, not an angel, but a human being, you want like shelter, we're not covered in fur, human beings. We don't just like lay down at night and go to sleep. Wouldn't that be terrifying? No, you want shelter, clothing, food, all the material necessities of life, all that stuff. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. But is that really the thing you're pursuing together? Thomas has a very specific idea about this. Every friendship is founded on the mutual pursuit of some good that cannot be achieved separately, but only in common. And do you know what it is? Yeah. No, it's so much more. I want you to get this. It's so much more mundane than that, and it's so, and you're almost like, you almost can't get your, but I'm going to get you to say it. And here's what I'm going to get you to say it. What do you actually do with your friends? What's that? And doing what? Nothing. You do nothing. You do not. You do nothing except be together. Yeah. No. As evidence of this, notice the fact that what you do with those you most love is, the things that matter the least. It's like, hey, I gotta go check my mail. Do you want to come? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Let's go. It's crazy. It is. It's wild. It's insane. But notice this. What do you do? So my wife grew up here in St. Louis, and she has three brothers and they have families, and we all cram into the same house these people grew up with. They can't stand being apart from each other. And there's like, way too many people in this little house, and we all sleep there on Christmas Eve, and what are we all doing? Like, nothing. Just like playing silly games and things. This is the whole thing. What friendship, true friendship is, what based on the good that friends want for each other, is nothing but the friendship itself. Oh, yeah, you said that? Yeah, but then you started going off on the other thing. So, yeah, all this stuff, but what you want is it's the togetherness of it.
You reference family.
Family, so there's something called familial friendship, and the communicatio it's founded on is, it's flesh and blood. It's like, these people, we originate from the same people. And there are other kinds of friendships that can be built up on these. So, but there's a friendship, Thomas will call it amicitia naturalis. And then he'll call the friendship, the communicatio, ultimately that the friendship of charity is based on, it's the fellowship of the Son. It's that we are all joined together in pursuit of God. And that's made possible by the sharing of God's own life with humanity in Jesus. Okay, common good. All right, so what's a common good then? We're gonna go for about 5 or 6 more minutes because I want to open up a little bit of a conversation about the next part. Okay, there's something called.
Dear professor.
Yes, sir, Peter. Yeah.
It's not a conversation yet. It seems like you have pulled a sleight of hand on.
Oh, I like it. Okay, make me.
Nothing is the common good. And then at the other point, you say God is the common good. How can both nothing and God?
Oh, no. Okay, so gotcha. All right. So there's something called true friendship where you're willing these goods for each other. Okay, and principally, I mean, it's each other's happiness and the virtue that's required for it, but it's your life together. What friends do most of all, what's most characteristic of friends, the activity that defines true friendship is passing time together. Okay? It's nothing but the friendship itself. So it's not nothing, it's the friendship. Yep. And then what I was saying was, which is not really the subject of this talk, though it's the thing I like to talk about most, was that there's something called charity. That's Romans 5:5, where St. Paul says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. We've been made new. We've been bought by his blood, born again from above, to quote John 3. And that's a kind of friendship. Okay, let's just get it out there. What is it? It is, it's a kind of love. To wish, what? Okay, you're wishing another some good. What is it? And it's mutual. And it's founded on some communicatio. Some actual working of that good. Well, look. God is the font of all goodness. He's the highest good, that which grounds the goodness of all things. And there's really no higher good. Well, there's just no higher good, is there, that you could be wanting for someone than God. And so the highest form of love, the love of charity, is going to entail wanting God for others. Yep. And so when Jesus tells us that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. He's saying you are to want for others what you ultimately want for yourself, and that's union with God. That's love. That's the love of Christ. And this friendship is mutual. It's a real friendship, that is to say, insofar as it obtains between you and God and those who love God, and therefore will union with God for you in turn. And it's founded on this communicatio. This isn't just an idea. This is real. This is the real stuff of human life. We are, as Christians, we are bound together in the mutual pursuit of God. And in that sense too, okay, what is the thing that what's the common good that we're all pursuing, right? It's nothing but this togetherness, this union. You know? This is the weird thing about friendship. You know, and notice this. Friendship's not the end of friendship. The friendship itself is not something you can want for yourself only. Kind of what you're saying, what you are saying to your friend when you say, I love you, is you are saying, I will some good for you. And that good is, it's us. It's me. It's you. It's us. It's this. Isn't this good? Yeah. This is good. Yeah. Okay. So, Thomas's big claim, he would blow your mind teaching you if you said, I'm going to start reading the second part of the Summa, start with the Treatise on Charity, just keep reading. He's going to teach you that when this shows up in your life by grace, it orders every other friendship toward its own end. So there are friendships, there are these other friendships you have, okay, and it transforms them, okay, and yes, we can't get into this now, but there is some question about what happens to friendships like this when they get transformed. Do they remain friendships of pleasure? Is there a Christian friendship of pleasure? I think not. But what I'd really like to do is just to point this out. This is the big thing that we all have to figure out. There is something, according to Thomas, called, we're not going to figure it out tonight, we'll talk about it, called political friendship. And that is the friendship that obtains between citizens. Okay? Who are joined together in mutual pursuit of a common good. And a lot of our confusion, A lot of the consternation among Christians, among Catholics, and others, has to do with our confusion around what this is. What is it? Well, figuring this out is like figuring out the kind of thing we are, what it is that we are, at, precisely as human beings, ordered toward, in our collective, our social lives.
Thanks for listening to this lecture on the Thomistic Institute podcast. The generosity of people like you makes this podcast possible. If you enjoy these talks, please consider showing your support at www.thomisticinstitute.org/donate. Your donation of even a dollar helps us reach more college students and many others with the powerful truths of the faith, and it ensures that we can keep publishing top-notch lectures on this podcast. Thanks a lot.